Good morning. Happy Sabbath. I will be reading from the Clear Word Version, Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. God had recreated it just as he had made it in the beginning. The old heaven and earth were gone, and so were the vast oceans. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, come down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed to meet her husband. I heard a voice coming from the throne, saying, God will now make his home on earth. He will personally live with his people and be with them. They will be a part of his royal family, and God will always be their God. He will wipe away all their tears, and there will be no more death or sadness or crying or pain. The former things had passed away.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. I'll be reading from the Clear Word Version, Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3. To have faith means to be confident of the things we hope for and to be certain of things we can't see. Faith is in our ability to hold on to this is to onto us. This is the kind of faith that gave some of our ancestors a good name and won God's approval. Faith in God not only reaches into the future, but also into the past. By faith, we understand that God created the whole universe out of nothing, so the things we see were made out of things that didn't exist.
Thank you,
Now we're going to have special music before our sermonette.
And you shall find.
Praise God. That's beautiful. Now we're going to have our sermonette by Noah. What I like best about heaven.
Happy Sabbath, church. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for another holy Sabbath of rest. We thank you for the privilege of worshiping you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the opportunity to hear heaven speak and all your people remain silent before thee. Lord, we're asking for the forgiveness of our sins. We're asking for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's memory verse comes out of Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. And it reads, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be with his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." When you think of homecoming, what is the first words that come to your mind? For me, it's family reunions and soldiers returning from war and church get-togethers like we're doing today. And homecoming probably means a lot of things to many people. Well, today we are going to learn about a new heaven and a new earth, the holy city, and no more tears. First, we're going to start with a new heaven and a new earth. Heaven is a real place, a place promised by God for all of his people to dwell in. Listen to the words on the night Jesus, before he was crucified. This is found in John 14, verses 1 through 3. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Twice in three verses, Jesus calls heaven a place. He means that heaven, quote, "my Father's house," is a real place, as real as New York, London, or New Jersey. The place called heaven is just as real as the place you call home. It's a real place filled with real people, which is why the Bible sometimes compares heaven to a big mansion filled with many rooms and a large city teeming with people. Can you go to the next slide? Please read this quote from Ellen G. White in her book Heaven, chapter 7, please. 1, 2, 3. Full of joy. It resounds with the praises of him who made so wonderful a sacrifice for the redemption of the human race. Should not the church on earth be full of praise? Should not Christians publish throughout the world the joy of the servant Christ? Those who in heaven join with the angelic choir in their anthem of praise must learn on earth the song of them, the kingdom which is. Second, the holy city. The holy city is a special place that God will create as part of the new heaven and the new earth. Have you ever traveled with your family to a large city? Well, I have. I remember going to San Francisco as a little boy for the first time. We went to the downtown area and we walked around. I was absolutely amazed by all these skyscrapers. I thought to myself, well, how do people build these, and how could these buildings be so tall? There's this one building in San Francisco called the Transamerica Building, and it's pretty interesting to look at because of its shape. It's like a giant pyramid. Well, but as fascinating as these buildings can look at, and how fascinating buildings are supposed to look, they're not compared to the new place that we are going to live in and God will create it for us. and it is called the New Jerusalem. First of all, the New Jerusalem has the glory of God for its lights. It is going to be beautiful because of God's presence. We also will see that there will be 12 gates and 12 foundations, which will represent the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. The street, we also get an idea of its size. It is going to be shaped as a square and it is 1,377 miles long and wide and high. That is huge. To get an idea, the city would almost cover half of the United States. Then we get to see the beauty of the city. The city is going to be pure gold, and the walls and the gates will be adorned with all kinds of beautiful gems. The streets will be pure gold, too. We can try to imagine what it will be like, but it is hard to completely imagine. Just think, God is preparing a city for his people. That's you and I if we believe in Jesus. It's amazing what God has in store for us. Let's praise him today. Please also, read with me another quote from Ellen G. White's book, Heaven, Chapter 7. Please. In all and all, their holiness reigns supreme. There is nothing to ignore or break the harmony with God. If we are indeed the church together, the third day of the world will dwell in our hearts. If I have no pleasure, if holiness has no attractions for us, then we may be sure that our hope of heaven remains. Perfect conformity to the will of God is our aim, to be constantly before the... Last, no more tears. In the book of Isaiah 25, verses 8, it reads, "He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all earth, for the Lord has spoken." And also in Revelation 21, verses 4, it reads, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." What great promises we have in the Lord. We can rejoice today because the Lord will one day remove every tear and pain and death. Last year was a hard year for my family. My little cousin Juju passed away. And me being the oldest of the children, I had to be strong for my family. My family knew that my cousin Juju was sleeping and waiting for that glorious moment to arrive. My dad encouraged me that we will get to see Juju again in heaven one day. Jesus is making a new heaven and a new earth for all of his people. We will get to meet Juju there. Has something ever happened in your life that made you sad? The same promise is for any of us who are Christians. If we have trusted in Jesus, then the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit will help us to have peace and joy, even when times are difficult for us. But we also know that one day God will take away every tear. God loves us all very much, and we can rejoice in the Lord for his great promises. Please be with me for the last time in Ellen G. White's Heaven and the Great these quotes from the Great Controversy in Heaven, please.
Pain cannot exist in the atmosphere of heaven. There will be no more tears, no funeral chains, and there will be
As you can see, heaven is going to be a big party and a fabulous place to be with God, who made us and wants us to reward us. God loves us even more than our parents and promises to take the best care of us. He hasn't forgotten us either. He says in three times in the last chapter of the Bible that Jesus is coming soon and to keep doing what is right and holy. So I hope that you learned what this sermon was for, that heaven is a wonderful place.
Our special music is Tirza from our Sunbeam class. Sorry, there's too many kids.
God rings at the earth, be glad.
Our last sermon will be Asriel. He's in our helping hand class. So Noah and Asriel will be joining the Pathfinders next year. This year is their last year. They will join our Valley View Pathfinders.
Happy Sabbath. Let's have a short prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful, beautiful day you've created. Please help us to have a good day today, and thank you for the Sabbath. And please help everyone to learn a little bit more about faith today. In your name, amen. I want to start with a scripture reading. Please turn to Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. I'm reading from the New King James. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Today my sermon is on faith. What does that mean to have faith? The definition of faith is complete or trust or confidence in something or someone. Let's take a close look at the definition of faith in the Compact Bible Dictionary, page 218. Genuine saving faith is a personal attachment to Christ, best thought of as a combination of two ideas, reliance on Christ and commitment to Him. Saving faith involves personally depending on the finished work of Christ's sacrifice as the only basis for forgiveness of sin and entrance into heaven. But saving faith is also a personal commitment of one's life to following Christ in obedience to His commandments. What does it mean to have faith? According to our Lord Jesus, our faith doesn't have to be great or big. It could be as small as a mustard seed. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? I have one right here in my hand. Can you see it? In Matthew 17:14-20, we see Christ's disciples unable to exorcise a demon from a young boy, even though Jesus had previously given them the authority to do this very thing. When they inquired of Jesus why they were not able to drive out the demon, the master replied, "Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." The mustard seed is one of the tiniest seeds found in the Middle East, so the conclusion is that the amount of faith needed to do great things is very small indeed, just as in the parable of the mustard seed. Matthew 13:31-32. Jesus uses parables to make the point that little is much when it comes from God. The mustard seed grows to be a huge tree, representing the tiny beginnings of Christianity, when just a few disciples began to preach and teach the gospel. Eventually, the kingdom grew to huge proportions, encompassing the entire world and spreading over the centuries. Mrs. White said in The Desire of Ages, page 431, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed," and said Jesus, "you shall say unto the mountain, 'Remove hence to yonder place,' and it shall move." Though the grain of the mustard seed is small, it contains that same mysterious life principle which produces growth in the loftiest tree. When the mustard seed is cast to the ground, the tiny germ lays hold of every element that God has provided for its nutrients, and it speedily develops a sturdy growth. If you have faith like this, you will lay hold upon God's word and upon all the helpful agencies He has appointed. Thus your faith will strengthen and will bring to your aid the power of heaven. The obstacles that are powered by Satan across your path, though apparently is insurmountable as the eternal hills, shall disappear before the demand of faith. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Faith to me is like my garden at home.
In the winter, it's empty with nothing growing. When spring and summer comes, it's full and beautiful. When you plant a seed in the ground, you show faith. You believe the seed will grow into a plant, even though you can't see any green leaves at all. You almost smell the flowers that will blossom on the fruit, or taste the fruit and vegetables that will grow later. Please turn to Hebrews 11:4-7, the faith chapter. Please say amen when you have found the page. Faith is the dawn of history. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he be dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so he did not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, which he condemned the world, and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Mrs. White says in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 72, Abel grasped the great principles of redemption. He saw himself a sinner, and he saw sin in its penalty death. Standing between his soul and communion with God, he brought the slain victim, sacrificed life, thus acknowledged the claim of the law that had been transgressed. Though the shed blood, he looked of the future to the future sacrifice, Christ dying on the cross of Calvary, trusting in the atonement that was there to be made, and the witness that was right, that he was righteous, and his offering accepted. Cain had the same opportunity and learning accepting these truths as Abel had. He was not the victim of the arbitrary purpose. One brother was not elected to be accepted of God and the other to be rejected. Abel chose faith and obedience, Cain unbelief and rebellion. Now I want to talk about another story of faith you can find in Luke chapter 7. Roman soldier. One day, Jesus was in Capernaum. The centurion's servant was very sick. He was about to die. This Roman soldier loved and appreciated his servant. Since he had heard of Jesus' healings, he asked the Jewish elders to be a go-between and plead with Jesus to heal the servant. When these elders came to Jesus, they told him that the centurion deserved to have his request granted because he loved the Jews. He had even built a synagogue for them. Jesus started to go to the centurion's house. When he was nearly there, the centurion sent friends to Jesus with this message: "Do not trouble yourself, Lord, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed." The centurion was a man of authority. He knew when he gave orders to those under him. He was obeyed. He believed that Jesus could do the same. He showed his faith in Jesus when he said, "Just say the word." Jesus pointed out to the Jewish elders what great faith the centurion had. "I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel, among the Jews," Jesus said. And the centurion's friends returned to his house. The servant was completely. Mrs. White says in the Ministry of Healing, pages 63, the centurion said to himself, "I am not worthy," yet he did not fear to ask help from Jesus, nor to his own goodness did he trust, but to the Savior's mercy. His only argument was his great need. In the same way, every human being can come to Christ, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. "In my hand, no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Mark 9:23. It is faith that connects us with heaven and brings us strength for coping with the power of darkness. In Christ, God has provided means for subduing every evil trait and resisting every temptation, however strong. But many feel that they lack faith, and therefore they remain away from Christ. Let these souls, in their helpless, unworthy, cast themselves upon the mercy of their compassionate Savior. Look not to thyself, but to Christ, he who has healed the sick and cast out demons. when he walked among men is still the same mighty Redeemer. Then grasp his promise as leaves from the tree of life. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. John 6:37. As you come to him, believe that he accepts you because he has promised. You can never perish while you do this. Never. Faith is hard and does not come easily. Just like the muscles of the body, faith must be exercised to grow. You may go 1 inch the first day, 2 inches the second day, 3 inches the third. Just like with any other activity in which you're growing, faith must be exercised every day. With this thought, I want to read you a short story by Hannah Tyler, May 20, 2009, My Grandma's Faith. "What's wrong, Mom?" I questioned as my mom hurried through the door. She had just come home from taking my grandma to the doctor to have her leg checked out. "She had fallen again!" Mom looked as though she'd been crying, so I backed off asking any more questions. That evening at supper, Mom explained to me that the doctor had said he talked to Grandma a little bit, and then he said he wants her to get some tests to make sure there isn't something making her black out. We hope it's just one of her new medicines causing side effects, but we soon learned that wasn't the case. After being poked and prodded like a lab rat, my grandma was diagnosed with ALS. It's a terrible disease that will slowly deteriorate her muscles until they're useless. The worst part is the doctors don't have a cure for it. When she told me about Grandma's illness, my mom started crying. "Things around here are going to have to change," she said, she informed me, "and it won't be easy." Then she announced that Grandma and all of her things were going to be moved out of her cozy little apartment and into our house. How could this happen, I wondered. Grandma has always already gone through so much. First, she had a car wreck that broke her kneecap, and then while she was confined to a walker, she slipped and broke another kneecap. Even after several surgeries, she's still stuck in a wheelchair with an intense disease that the doctors can't cure. And as if that is not enough, the doctors estimate that she has 3 years or less to live. How could things get any worse? But I had gotten only the gist of it. Mom told me that disease would not only shorten Grandma's life, but in her last few months, she'd been unable to lift a finger, eat, or even breathe on her own. She'd have to rely on machines to do the necessary things to continue what little life she had left. It was absolutely devastated. That night, I begged God to help my grandma. Why, Lord, I wondered. Why her? She doesn't deserve it. I couldn't go to sleep. I just lay wide awake, wondering, praying, pleading with God to give me peace and help me accept the terrible fact that life as I knew was about to change drastically. In the morning, we started moving our stuff out of the room in which Grandma was going to live. I didn't get it, and I wondered, why would God do this to her? She's not a bad person. In fact, she's one of the most caring people I know. Why is God punishing her? The question kept buzzing through my head. Then Mom got home with Grandma. I was shocked to see my grandma with the biggest grin ever. How could she be smiling, I wondered to myself. The worst thing possible is happening, and she's actually smiling. I couldn't believe it. After everyone else had scattered, I finally got the courage to confront her. How can you be so happy, I asked. She simply replied, faith. At first, it made no sense to me. What on earth does that mean, faith? I questioned silently. I now realize exactly what she meant, for my grandma is teaching me faith every day. She believes that people should count their blessings no matter how hard life gets. She says that one of her blessings is being much closer to her daughters and her four grandbabies, as she calls us. She's the only woman I know who's in the worst situation and still turn it around and get excited about what's yet to come. She knows and I believe in heaven, a far better place. And no matter what happens, I know she'll always have a place in my heart. My grandma has shown me that faith is truly what faith truly means. It means being strong in the worst of times and trusting that only God knows what's best for our future. It means knowing that we shouldn't complain, because things will turn around one way or another. I hope to someday have the same amazing faith and confidence in God that my wonderful, loving grandmother has. This story shows me even when things look so bad, God will see us through. We just need to have faith in him. The Bible tells us that God has given everyone a measure of faith. He wants us to exercise our faith so it will grow. How can we do that? Just as with nourishment and exercise our bodies grow, our faith can grow. We can read about people who had great faith, Bible characters, historical men and women who did great things, and people today who overcome great obstacles and handicaps because they have faith in themselves and in God. It also helps our faith grow when we tell others how God has rewarded our own faith, or when we think about the incidents in our lives that have shown the results of our faith grows stronger. Jesus gave his disciples a chance to have faith in him when he said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also." They believed this promise, and after Jesus returned to heaven, they went everywhere believing this promise and see everywhere telling others how to prepare for the day when Jesus would come again. We too can believe this promise and see in our minds how wonderful it will be to live forever with Jesus, even though we couldn't see him right now. Now we close with my favorite scripture, Hebrews 11:30-34. Now, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness became strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received the dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial, mockings, and scourging, yea, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being desolated, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having faith, obtained good testimony through the faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect from us. I would like to end with one question. When Jesus comes, will he find faith on the earth? Thank you.
Testing, all right. Now is our helping hands and our builders, our special music. Please, come on up.
Praise God.
Amen.
So this has been a very beautiful Sabbath that our kids have been able to be a part of the service and feel useful. And we just hope it continues and you see our children become leaders and lead out and become examples for other children who's following after them. We just have a little tiny, quick glimpse of what we do in our club. And this is our director, Daniela. I'm assistant, and Selena is also our assistant director. So we are so blessed to have a wonderful staff that helps us, and the parents, they work really well with their children. They're hard with the Bible memorizations and things. They work with their children outside the club. So it's just been a joy and a blessing to be a part of this.
Amen. I think she already said everything.
You just want to explain a little bit what is Adventure Club. I know that Valley View already had an Adventure Club before, but some churches that we go, they don't know what it is an Adventure Club. So we just take these moments to tell a little bit. So Adventure Club, it's something that for our little children that are not ready to be a pathfinder, so they can feel useful and they can have some part in church, and not just in our churches, but also in our communities. We do some field trips and things like that. And we are thinking have some things going on for next year, which is going to help a little bit more our community. This was an induction ceremony that we have, I believe, this year. Yeah, it was in our...
We have 36 members currently from six different churches.
Eight?
From a lot of different churches. And this is one of our field trips that we did together at Ashland Outdoor Skating Ring. It was really fun. We even got the teenagers to come out.
Yeah, that's really fun.
This is some of our before meeting activities. We sing and get the kids ready before they separate to their different classes. Where we do different things. We do book lessons, but we also do family, friends, and just how to be like Jesus. And we just different activities for them to remember. And a lot of parents say they ask about it every week. Is it time? Is it time? So we're just praising God for that.
Amen.
Our eager beavers. Just some activities that we do, object lessons, so the kids can remember certain things by their daily activities with playing and things like that. They can remember the lessons of the Lord as well. These are our helping hands and builders and sunbeams, and they're just working on some craft projects.
Okay, so this year we have an opportunity to go one more time to the staff retreat in Cannon Beach, and we have the blessing to have Dick Durgan. Thank you. I have my accent. I don't want to tell the word wrong. Yes. So it was a blessing to hear from him lots of stories, and the children from the staff have been blessed to hear firsthand the story about the lion. If you guys remember this new magazine Journey that the conference is sending, and he talks about the three lions, the brothers, and he told that story to us and shared his features.
And this is just the kids giving a program for us adults, because we have just not just Bible lessons, but it's also a training for us to be able to reach to children in different ways that we can connect with them through our ministry. Also, this is all the ministries. If you look at that side, I'm not going to try to specify, but there we are all praying, and in the center is a brand new Adventures Club, and this is all of Southern Oregon Adventures leaders that came, and they were praying for the year and for the new club, and that it will be blessings and things like that. So that's what you see there.
That's the nice time, that the blessed time that you have in families there. You can see Selena's family, my family. I don't see Lena.
Charlene's.
Yeah. So you just make some pictures there with all the families, staff families that went up there.
And this is just a little reminder to our adventure club. This is our Oregon Conference event that's coming June, and we also do a camp out in Portland at the same time because it's kind of far to do just one day. And this is our club last year, and members were able to come. And they actually asked us to lead out in the
parade.
And which was nice, and our kids really enjoyed doing that. So these are some of the activities that we do in our club. Another activity
that we have is the memorization, Bible memorization. They opened up for us to do a adventure Bible experience, and probably you guys are familiar with that with the Pathfinders. And the conference wants to do that for the children also, and they are doing in April the 7th. We don't feel prepared yet to go up there, but you have some of your children that I want to share with you some of the memory some of the verses that they have memorized.
Also, so last year was the first year that they started the Bible experience. So this year we started to practice for it, and we're hoping in the future we'll be ready to take our team out there to join in the experience. And our kids, the parents, they work amazing with their kids during family time, family morning worship, evening worship, and they have just really, really sharp minds. So at this time, they're going to give some memory verses.
They cut it on when you were standing up.
Okay. All right, so these are the kids are going to say their memory verse. Some of them, they can memorize the whole chapter. Some of them can memorize a couple. So we'll start from Abigail.
All right, next time, Abigail. All right, next one is Camellia.
God saw everything he made, and it was good.
Amen. All right, our next one, Abigail.
John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am a way, a truth, and a knife.
Amen. Levi?
Oh, yeah. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I shall might not sin against thee.
Amen.
I'm trying to remember the verse. Psalms 119:11.
Amen. All right.
The Lord is my shepherd. bread I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. He leads me with the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare the table for me in the presence of my enemies. You will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalms 23, verse 1 through 6.
Good job.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because He hath set His love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 91.
Amen. Thank you, Faith.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. He, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod, Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in Your presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalms 23, verse 1 through 6.
This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and the truth is not in us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5-10.
Amen. All right. I told you guys, I can't even memorize all that. But these kids, we are so blessed to have them to memorizing God's word. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. All right.
So this is three ways that you can help us spread the word. If you know a family that has small children that might be interested, we have brochures that the children will be passing out at the end. Also, please pray for us. It's a blessing but a challenge. We're all volunteers, and it takes a lot of our time. So pray that the Lord will give us strength and wisdom to continue on. And also donations, if the Lord impressed you today, because as we said before, it takes a lot to run the club like this with the crafts and the activities. So if the Lord impressed you, then at the end, at the door, the children also will be taking up offering. We are so blessed and this has, even with my faith in the Lord, has grown to see these kids just blossom. Just want to thank you, and we have a closing hymn, 294, Power in the Blood.